Thank you very much. It's astounding. The prophecies in the Old Testament are so clear on how clearly they come true in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For example, in Isaiah, the 9th chapter of that great prophetic book, he has these prophetic words. The people that walk in darkness, and that included them at that time, and they were in a dark time. They're soon going to be led off into slavery. The people that walk in darkness, they've seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, and that's where we are, and humanity has always lived in the shadow of death. And here is this prophet 900 years before Christ saying, they, upon them, has a great light shined. That's prophecy, ladies and gentlemen. Then he goes on to say, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Almighty Father, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then Isaiah doesn't end it right there. If you turn right over to Isaiah 53, and by this time they are in slavery, and he gives us a description of this light of love that has come into the world. He says this light will have no beauty that will attract others to him. That he, in fact, will be despised and rejected. That he will bear our griefs and sorrows. It's an absolute description of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. 900 years before it happens, he will be wounded for our transgressions. He will be bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes, we are healed from our separation from God. The Lord God has laid on him the sins of all of us. And he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to slaughter. Now there's more to it in Isaiah 53. If you want to read it sometimes, it's almost like reading the exact account 900 years before it happens. John, the first chapter, says that when the writer there is talking about the incarnation of God, and he says, in him was life, and that life is the light that shines in darkness. We're talking about Jesus Christ now. And the darkness cannot extinguish this light. Can't put it out. But all who receives him, he gives power to become sons of God, and they become candles of light of God's love in the world. And then in the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, Jesus picks up on this same theme. And in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, he talks about this is a profile of what the light looks like in the world. These are attitudes of being that Christian people should have and should be working on and perfecting in their lives. But this light's going to be people who are poor in spirit. They know they need God. This light's going to be those who will mourn, but they'll mourn in faith and they'll mourn in hope. Whether it's death or whatever it is, they will mourn in faith. And they will be blessed with humbleness. They will be meek people. They will be people who are always hungry and thirsting after more of God. This is what the light looks like. They will be merciful because God is merciful. And we're going to be a light of mercy. We too must extend mercy. And they shall be pure in heart because God, when he looks through us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, he doesn't see our brokenness and our sinfulness. He sees us as forgiven and loved and liberated and set free. And this light will be made up of peacemakers. And they will suffer persecution, the Lord himself says. And then the Lord says, and this is the 8th Beatitude, it's about rejoicing in spite of the fact that you suffer persecution, that you're mocked and you're ridiculed and you're made fun of. The Lord says here, you're the light of the world. And if you're the light of the world, when people mock you because you're letting your light shine, why rejoice? This is an attitude of people who are determined to let their light of Christ in them shine in the world. But it is true, ladies and gentlemen, like it says there in this 5th chapter of Matthew, that we will suffer persecution because we let our light shine. Well, how do we make it happen? We first of all have to let the light of the world come into our darkened hearts. And without that, ladies and gentlemen, we're not even in the whole picture of the reality of Christmas. We can light 1,000 candles, one man said, and we can have 1,000 mangers, we can sing 1,000 hymns, but until Christ is born in our heart, until we let his light into our darkness, we don't have a clue about what Christmas is about. We have to let this light into our darkness. Not just in the opening room, the family room, or we used to call it the parlor where you let company come and it'd stay in there, but don't let the light just come into that room. Invite that light into all the rooms of your soul so this light can really come alive in you and you can let it shine into the world. I received a note from a friend of mine when I was pastoring at First Church, 1987. And she is a school psychologist, lives in a different city now. And she called on the phone, and I watched her progress in that church, which is always a wonderful thing to see. I take enormous pride in people who are growing spiritually. It just thrills me to see that happen. Thank God we do see it happening. And so she says, she writes to my wife and myself, she says, "Dear friends and shepherds," plural. It always thrills me when someone recognizes how important my wife is in my ministry. And when you do things for me at this church, you include her in it because you can't explain me, except my mistakes. You can't explain me without looking at this woman that God has given me in this life. And so this lady addresses this to both of us. She says she invited herself to come and have lunch with us and then writes this a few days later. She says, "Dear shepherds and friends, thanks so much for making time to have lunch with me on the 29th. Lunch was delicious, and our fellowship was very renewing for me." And then she adds this, "Grant, did I ever tell you that it was August of 1987 that I had a conversion experience under your tutelage? By the grace of God, I turned the corner in my life," she says, "from being a nice Christian," and she was a nice Christian, "I turned the corner in my life and I began to place Jesus at the center of my life, surrendering it all to him." Now here's a person, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I'm talking about, letting the light in. You have to let it in before you can let it out. And here is a wonderful lady in that church Sunday after Sunday, never told me that she had turned that corner, and writes me this note and say, "Grant, I need to tell you that I turned a corner. Instead of just being a nice, comfortable Christian, I allowed the Lord to come in and change my life." And then once we let this light into our darkness, then we need to let it out. Because as the song says, a bell isn't a bell until you ring it, and a song isn't a sing until you sing it. And I have to add, your faith isn't faith until you live it. And your light that you have is not a light until you shine it. It is letting it out. That's the important thing of this light that's in us who claim the name of Christ. Because that light, ladies and gentlemen, that is your love, and that is the Lord's light in the world. And the Lord is depending on you to let that light out and let it shine. C.S. Lewis said, "The whole purpose of the church is that we might create little Christ." Now think about that for just a moment. That's why we exist. So that we can be about the business of helping people become little Christ. Little lights of Christ out there in the world, sharing his love. Most of the time, it is said that if we do any act of kindness with great love, it will change the world. I think that's true. But sometimes, though, ladies and gentlemen, in this dark world that we live in, the darkness doesn't like the light and will reject the light. And Jesus said in the third chapter of the book of John, now this is the condemnation of the world, that light from heaven has come into the world, but the world loves darkness more than they love light. And we who are trying to shine our light into the world, we need to be aware that sometimes we are going to be ridiculed and we're going to be mocked and we're going to be made fun of. And that's why Jesus tacked on the Beatitudes, let your light shine, but bear in mind you will be mocked and you will be ridiculed as you let your light authentically shine in the world. Now, I have been watching Tim Tebow. You know, he's the quarterback for the Denver Broncos. And the reason I've started watching him, the reason I started watching Peyton Manning was because of his character and his Christian witness. That's why Ann and I were Colt fans. And so I have an enormous interest in Tim Tebow because he's letting his light shine. And here is a quarterback that they wouldn't let him play because they said, well, you know, the pundits would say, you really don't have it. And even though he had a spectacular career at Florida, and I think he won the Heisman Trophy. But finally, the fans forced this coach of the Denver Broncos to let Tim Tebow play. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, out of six games, he has won five of the six games, and they are now sharing first place with another team. But after the game, he falls on his knee, and he prays, and then he points toward heaven and gets up and runs off and joins the other players who are in a circle of both teams, the ones who lost and the ones who won, and they hold hands and they pray. He doesn't thank God that they won the game. He thanks God that he has the ability that he has, and giving glory and praise to God in his way. He is letting his light shine. And I thank God for Tim Tebow. Now, it probably has dawned on you that the Bengals are not going to be in the Super Bowl. That's probably in spite of some of the prayers that you have prayed. And don't pray those kind of prayers, you know. And did you know, and so I am praying, here we go. Let's say I am hoping that the Denver Broncos are in the Super Bowl if it's the will of God. I'm not sure I've just kind of wiped the underpinnings out of my whole thing by saying that. We can get lost in sports, you know. But since the Bengals aren't going to be there and the Colts aren't going to be there, I hope the Broncos are there. And I hope that he does the same thing in that game as he's done in every game, that he'll point to heaven and give God credit for who he is. He's the son of two missionary parents. He is real. He has character. You talk about a role model. That's what happens when we have it and we let it shine. It makes a difference in us and to the world around us. But guess who else is going to be in that Super Bowl? Who is going to perform at halftime? Would it surprise you to know that Lady Gaga is going to perform in the Super Bowl? Millions and millions and millions of people in this land and beyond this land, young people who need role models, we're going to be entertained by someone, in my judgment, that represents what darkness is all about. And that's why I hope that Tim Tebow is there, that after that he on his knees will thank God no matter what happens in that game. And if you don't pray that they're there, at least give them a good positive thought it might happen. Have you noticed, ladies and gentlemen, that we are in a dark time in our world, in our country? That there's a de-Christianizing of America that's going on all around us. We are being so intimidated by political correctness, it's not only in the high schools that you can't pray, it's creeping into cemeteries, it's almost everywhere. People are being shut out who want to have some symbol, who want to mention the name of Christ. We can't even call a Christmas tree a Christmas tree now, it's a holiday tree. And take the Christ out of it. We're drifting into a dark world when God needs us to let our light shine. Amen. And he is depending on you and I to let that light shine. Now, you'll have to decide how you're going to do that. But it's very important that you let it shine. Now, we used to sing a chorus called, This Little Light of Mine. Remember that course? Yeah, well, not yet. Not yet. But it's a children's course, but it is right on the mark. Give us a key. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen. Now we're gonna sing another great Christmas hymn. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Let's stand and sing together.